Sportscast, September 5th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net for all the sports news, information about the podcast, and analysis of every sport you could think of. The Oakland Raiders are planning to suspend Antonio Brown after an incident with the general manager, Mike Mayock, from the Raiders. It happened yesterday, an incident reported by Adam Schefter. Of course, Brown had an incident earlier late this summer about his helmet. To join us to talk to us a little bit about Antonio Brown, but not just about him, also about Alabama's journey to become the best college team of all time. Justin Riley, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, glad to be here, man. Excited about talking some more Alabama football, but also talk a little bit about the parody that is Antonio Brown.
Yes, of course, Antonio Brown, you know, came from the Steelers. Now he didn't play he did play a little bit last year, right? Or most of the season, or did he didn't set Correct. Out like Bell, right?
He did eventually pull out towards the latter part of the season, decide to, you know, do his own little sit-in, similar to Bell, but he at least, played some snaps.
Exactly. So he played and obviously went to the Raiders as a free agent, or I believe he got traded. And then, of course, he had an incident with his helmet. Now he might have a little situation with the general manager. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think this is do the Raiders really need him? Or do you think he could be suspended a game or two?
Well, first of all, Antonio Brown is an incident. I mean, that's just been the most predominant thing about his career. You know, we're starting to slowly turn our focus away from the good things he's done, which he has done some good things on paper, to now it looks like his career is being overshadowed by nothing but nonsense. And it's been ongoing even before he got to the Raiders, which, you know, I would have thought, or common sense would have, you know, told him, you know, straighten up. You got a fresh new start. Everything's behind you now. You know, this is something to do anew. No, he's continued with this. And now the Raiders are starting to experience just a small taste of what, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have been experiencing here as of late. Now, the question was, do the Raiders need him? Well, yes and no. I think that they need a dynamic playmaker on that offense to help out Derek Carr. But do they need this distraction? Do they need all the negativity? Absolutely not. I think the Raiders can go on and produce a much better season without all this. And I hope that Mayock actually stands by his guns here and does suspend him, because he needs to be suspended.
Something we'll definitely be looking out for the next couple of days. Of course, tonight is the season opener of the NFL with the Packers versus the Bears, a big matchup, and of course this weekend. So hopefully this does not distract the weekend opener or also the opening weekend. Another thing that happened this past weekend, Alabama began their journey by beating Duke tremendously, 42-3, and it was not quite a dramatic game. It was a quite given game, but we thought it would be closer. But Justin, what were your thoughts about this match?
Well, for the first half, you know, it played out the way that I honestly expected it to. I thought the offense and the team in general was going to have a little bit of a tough time, mainly because, one, we had four players, key players, suspended. And then we also had some key players, namely Dylan Moses, who are gone for the year. So after suffering that tremendous setback, you know, it's hard to really kind of get things in gear and get things going, as shown by Alabama very early. So, you know, Alabama was very out of sorts, and you could really tell. I mean, we had five freshmen starting, especially at key positions, some of those on the offensive line and also in the backfield. And that totally disrupts the flow of things offensively when you don't have those people there who have that experience and who have that leadership and that cohesiveness that, you know, a quarterback is used to. You know, Tagovailoa was hurrying things. You know, his timing was a little bit off for his whole execution, just because I don't feel like that comfortability was there. I don't feel like that he just really felt at ease. You know, the running backs who did replace Najee and Brian Robinson, we had Jerome Ford. Well, I think Jerome Ford was the only guy who played, but, you know, he was playing anxious, playing nervous. You know, he wasn't picking up pass protection very well. And unfortunately for him, on one of the carries he had early on, he fumbled. But it was a disruption. And it took Alabama a while to really get things going. But then I think Saban felt that either he'd had enough of seeing them struggle, or the players who were suspended had learned their lesson, and he reinserted them. And as soon as he did that, just everything changed. Business picked up, and Alabama's back in gear again. So even though it had a little bit of a slow start, you know, Alabama ultimately did what they had to do. Tua Tagovailoa did have a good day. He was 26 of 31 for 336 yards and 4 touchdowns. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. As expected, Jerry Jeudy had a really big day, 10 catches for 137 yards and a touchdown. Interesting thing, though, the wide receivers, who usually are the highlight reel of the team, weren't the first to get on the board. It was the tight ends. They got on the board first. We have Miller Forrestall catching the first touchdown, and then we had Major Tennyson catching the nuts touchdown. But the wide receiver core, they look like they're already in midseason form, man. They're as explosive as ever. And the Duke secondary, which really was the strength of their defense, had a hard time covering all those guys. So not much of a surprise there. What did stood out to me about Alabama was the offensive line. They really appeared inconsistent at times. And like I said before, it was mainly due to having some young guys up front. And then it looked like Saban was trying to experiment a little bit with, you know, who to put in there. And it was noticeable because, you know, they allowed too much penetration. My gosh, Duke linebacker Kwanzaa and Singleton were in the backfield all day. It seems like they were in every offensive play. And the running backs didn't really have a whole lot of production that day, which many were expecting a big day from Najee Harris and Brian Robinson, but it was not to be. It was the wide receivers who carried the team offensively. But on the other side of the ball, like I said, we had some freshmen in places. DJ Dell was on the defensive line up at nose, replacing Quinton Williams. He was very productive, very disruptive. He did have 3 tackles, but he was in on just about every play. And the offensive linemen for Duke, especially the ones who were seasoned, really had a hard time blocking him. And the focus mainly was at the linebacker position with Shane Lee and Christian Harris replacing Josh McMillan, and more notably Dylan Moses. They did not play like freshmen at all. They both had 6 tackles apiece, but they were in just about every defensive stop. It didn't look like freshmen playing to me. They looked like veterans. So that's a very promising sign for Alabama, especially with those guys missing. But as expected, like you said, Alabama continued to wear down Duke, and it wasn't much of a contest in the second half. Although Duke did put up a very good fight, and they did have their opportunities actually to make it a game at points, but the experience of Alabama and too much depth and talent just really took over.
Yeah, Duke University with their quarterback Quentin Harris had 27 yards, 2 interceptions. Rushing wise, that Brennan Brown carrying for 36 yards, not much there. Receiving 45 yards by Noah Gray. Not a team we expected. Not the Duke from last year. What are your expectations for them for this year?
Well, they're a team in transition. They lost a lot of players from this past season, more notably at the quarterback position. You know, it it's pretty hard for a team to recover quickly after, you know, having a guy drafted in the top 10. And they got a lot of young guys there. So they do have talent. They're not going to be the Duke of old that just, you know, crashes and burns and is the perennial homecoming choice for opponents to get the easy victory. No, they're going to do pretty well in their division. Like I said, man, they got a pretty good linebacker. And Kwanzaa and, you know, Singleton's very good as well. So those are really good players. And their secondary, albeit they were ravaged by Jerry Jeudy and company, they're still very good. And it's hard for any secondary to cover multiple receivers, let alone just one. So don't discount them just because of what Alabama was able to do offensively. But I figure, you know, they'll only get better. I think that they'll do well in their division. That their division is up for grabs in ACC, so they should be able to make some noise and maybe even challenge for their side of things as the year progresses.
Alabama's next game is against New Mexico State this Saturday at 4 p.m. What are your expectations? Will it be stronger than Duke, or will it be the same, or maybe weaker?
Well, let's just face it, and all due respect, New Mexico State is not a very good team. They were manhandled this past week by Washington State. They're not as good as Duke by any stretch of the imagination, so it should be a game that Alabama can conceivably put away pretty early. But this is an opportunity for these young guys that I mentioned earlier, especially who are trying to find their way at their positions, to continue to mature and get that game experience they definitely need, desperately need. So I look at it as a positive. No, is it it's not a sexy game. It's not by any stretch of the imagination. It's a 3 p.m. game. It's kind of one of those filler games on TV. It's going to be 99 degrees out there. Not ideal. But if you're just looking to see how Alabama's going to improve week to week, this is a good game to watch, especially seeing these young guys really materialize and what they can be. New Mexico State's quarterback is Josh Atkins. He's a sophomore, 6'2", 217 pounds from Spring Branch, Texas. His previous game, he threw for 221 yards, no touchdowns, and two interceptions. Had a quarterback rating of 56.9, which is not good at all. And running back is Jason Huntley. He ran for only 57 yards last week. He is the veteran of the group. Like I say, just senior. Ran for 500 yards this past season, seven touchdowns. So they're going to count heavily upon him to produce some, you know, semblance of offense. They got blown out 58-7 last week by Washington State. They gave up 507 yards and six touchdowns in the air. And they allowed Washington State's running back, Max Borgie, to rush for 128 yards and a touchdown. So is it a tough game? No. Is it one of those things we should get worked up and make more than what it is? No. Alabama should have win this game relative ease. The biggest thing for us is develop these players, as well as, please, dear Lord, keep everybody, you know, safe. You know, no injuries. We can't afford any more injuries on our team. So that's my expectations of that game. It's just a tune-up game. Especially getting ready to go to Columbia next week to face South Carolina, which is going to be a good road test for Alabama.
Now, for the New Mexico game, what do you want to see improvement from? Obviously, you know, these low key games are typically good to reinforce some certain players, two outs, you know, with the offensive line. What do you want to see from Alabama to improve on for this game?
Most importantly, I want to see this offensive line become more consistent. I want to see less penetration in the backfield. I'm not really happy with the sloppy play, you know, from the offensive line. I want to see that get better. I want to see running lanes created. You know, we got two of the best running backs in the SEC, perhaps maybe even the country. But we need to see them be let loose. It doesn't just need to be a one-dimensional offense, you know, although Tua, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, and Henry Ruggs III are great. We need to be balanced, and I need to see some balance from that offense. I do need to see Tua continue to improve with his decision making. He is playing a bit reckless still. I was kind of surprised to see that. It was very apparent in the Duke game, but then again, you can kind of chalk that up to him playing with some new players in there and not being comfortable. But there's a lot of that reckless gunslinger in him that really needs to kind of fade away. And maybe this game will see that. I also need to see the young guys to continue to get better. I want to see more from Christian Harris, more from Shane Lee. And I want to be wowed by them again. I think they can do that. So that's kind of what I'm looking to. And again, I really want to see everybody come out of this game healthy.
Yeah, something that you do not want to get injured after a low-key game. I mean, we'll probably see the starters start in the first half, and the second half we'll see the bench players come in, see what they're about, you know, see that second string of this current position and see if he's good enough for any future potential games. It's good to evaluate what talent do you have, even though, you know, Alabama's bench is pretty deep no matter what happens. Another game of the weekend actually was Oregon-Auburn, but this game kind of stood out more. Was Oklahoma beating Houston 49-31, not because Oklahoma beat Houston, it's because it was the debut of Jalen Hurts, the former Alabama quarterback. Obviously, a lot of emotions riding high, but Jalen had a great performance. Justin, what were your thoughts?
Man, first and foremost, man, I was more excited to see the debut of Jalen Hurts than I was seeing our game. Take that, you know, how you will, but it's really funny is that I can't think of any quarterback, let alone any player in recent memory, who has transferred from one school to another school who's been celebrated as much as Jalen Hurts and cheered for as much, you know, by the school that he left. It's truly remarkable. But I feel like, first of all, yes, the entire Alabama nation is behind him and they want to see him do well. But I feel like the nation itself, college football nation as a whole, is cheering for Jalen Hurts and really wants to see him do well. And he sure got off to an amazing start, you know, throwing for well over 300 yards and then also rushing for over 150-plus. And he has six total touchdowns. I mean, that's an impressive debut. Yeah, it was against Houston, but, you know, Houston's not a cupcake by any stretch of the imagination. They're a good, solid squad, but Jalen really looked great. He looked poised. He looked like a man that was on a mission to prove something, to show that he is the man, that he has gotten better. He has learned. He is QB1, which may be the reason why he chose that number. But nonetheless, he came out and his passes were on point. He made really good decisions. He was looking at all his progressions, and Houston really just didn't have an answer for him. I really saw a lot more confidence in him as a passer. I would say as a runner as well, but we know that he's always had confidence in his running ability. But he really has the total package, it seems like, right now. And maybe, you know, I'm getting a little ahead of myself by saying this, but, you know, I'm ecstatic for him, and I'm looking forward to what this year is going to show for us. He's got a whole season in front of him, and if he continues to play at this type of level, which I feel like he can just because, let's face it, the Big 12 is not known for defense, so I feel like he will be able to do a whole lot more with his skill set against these lesser defenses of the Big 12. So I think that Jalen is really on pace to have potentially a Heisman finalist type year.
Do you think Lincoln Riley will be the solution for Hurts to, you know, to become a better quarterback? Do you think it's the right fit? I mean, it really seems like it is after the first weekend, but this might be the perfect situation for Jalen.
Oh, absolutely, man. I think it's the perfect marriage. I don't think there's any offensive mind greater right now in the game of college football than Lincoln Riley. Yeah, there's some other good guys who are able to do things, like, you know, David Cutcliffe, who's been able to do tremendously a lot more with a lot less. But Lincoln Riley really can give Jalen the focus and the investment time that he needs to really develop him. And it's going to be a day-by-day, week-by-week, game-by-game basis. And I really feel like Lincoln can help him improve as more and more and more as the season goes on. I feel like the ceiling is really high. Perhaps there might not even be a ceiling for it. But again, we may be getting ahead of ourselves. I think a lot of it is just we're so glad and so proud to see Jalen doing his thing. But if anybody's going to get Jalen to the point of being the best quarterback in college football, it's going to be Lincoln Riley guiding him there.
Yeah, of course, Lincoln Riley, known for his offense, knows how to work with quarterbacks, helped Kyler Murray from a year before, not a high-quality quarterback, now became the first-round pick of the NFL draft, and maybe Jalen Hurts might become that, you know, that Heisman candidate, as Justin is predicting. So far, the first weekend, it does look good for Oklahoma. Their next big game is against Texas until October. These other games are pretty small, but the October game is where everyone's talking about. And, of course, Texas is playing a big team this weekend. But, anyways, anything else before we head into predictions?
No, man, I think I pretty much got it. We covered the things that I was most excited about, you know, especially Jalen. And then, you know, we're able to take a little bit of a peek at New Mexico State. Not that there really needed to be a lot of time spent on that.
It's and a scrimmage.
No slight on them. Please don't get me wrong. I don't want to get a bunch of hate mail or hate tweets here on the sportscast because I was, you know, dissing the Aggies. But I felt like I was able to communicate my points, you know, taken from the Duke game. And what's really great for Alabama is, as I've mentioned in my previous cast, is the top end of their schedule is very, very doable, very workable. And it's going to allow us the time we need to get things in the right direction, get these players developed. Because when come time to march to Kyle Field, we're going to need these guys to be grown up because Texas A&M is going to give us everything we want.
Speaking about Texas A&M, we're heading into predictions. Texas A&M versus Clemson Tigers.
I feel like this is probably going to be the game of the week. Close argument there with Texas and LSU. We'll get to that game later. I think it's going to be a very exciting game. If you missed the one this previous season, shame on you. Great game. But all purposes, man, Texas A&M should have won that game. It was a controversial call at the end there that turned the whole face of the game and prevented them from getting the win. So Clemson survived to face another day. Clemson team is much improved, and I feel like they are ready for Texas A&M. Of course, you know, they got Trevor Lawrence, who was improved since last year for the last meeting. When they played this time last year, it was more of they're trying to figure things out offensively. They were trying to figure out which quarterback they're going to go with. That time is Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence splitting time. Now they do have their QB1. They do have their identity. So there shouldn't be any problem there whatsoever. So the offense is going to be coming out high-powered with Lawrence as well as Higgins. And then you got Etienne over there at running back. Texas A&M's defense is pretty solid, especially up front. They're going to have their work cut out for them. I think, though, this is probably going to be a game that's going to be close. I feel like it's going to come down to the end again. However, I think Clemson will escape again this time. Texas A&M is tremendously better, and what really keeps them in this game is going to be their quarterback, Kellen Mond, who is a really underrated quarterback, and a quarterback that people are just starting to talk about. And I feel like that this is going to be a year that he actually comes out and people start talking more about. But I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be the most talked about quarterback in this game, and he will lead Clemson to a narrow victory.
LSU versus Texas.
Game I'm looking forward to because a lot of people are riding high on Texas right now. Sam Ellinger, they really are all about him. Some are already – nominating him or dubbing him as a Heisman finalist. Not quite sure if I'm on that bandwagon quite yet. May change my opinion once I watch this game, because he's going to be going up against a much better defense than what he has faced thus far, and probably what he's going to face the entire year in the Big 12. So, but the key to this game is which quarterback is going to play the best, which quarterback is going to make the fewest mistakes. Is Joe Burrow going to actually live up to his claim that he and his offense are now elite and going to be one of the best offenses in the system? One of the best offenses in college football this season. Can he prove it to me? I think that but he will. I think Joe Burrow is going to lead his LSU Tigers to a victory over Texas. But it's not going to be just him. I think LSU's defense is going to be way too much for Texas. So I claim the Tigers as victors in this game.
I think LSU will struggle in this game, but they will pull out a win. And finally, Alabama versus New Mexico.
I predict us to win the toss and the game.
There you go. And finally, one extra game tonight, the Packers versus the Bears.
Well, Packers versus Bears, man, we are opening up with two of the most historic teams in NFL history. Really curious to see where the Packers are going to be this year. You know, they definitely have a chance because they have Aaron Rodgers. Bears, what are they going to be like after having a good year this past season? They made tremendous strides this past season, and they have boosted their defense a little bit by getting Ha Ha Clinton Dix in the offseason. So I think, though, in this game, I'm going to have to stick with Aaron Rodgers and his Packers for the victory.
Over Trubisky. And there is an Alabama player that plays for Chicago. Is it Robinson?
There are actually two Alabama players.
And what are the names?
You
forgot, didn't you?
you're cutting out. So.
Oh, I am. Can you hear me still?
Oh, I can hear you still.
Okay.
Clinton Dix is there. He's an Alabama alum. And Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson was a Pro Bowl safety from this past season. Had a tremendous season, a coming out season. So hopefully he'll be able to continue that this year. And I think being with his running buddy from his days at Alabama is going to make him even better. I think they play well off of each other because they did well at Alabama. And not many quarterbacks had a good day against that pair.
And random question, Kobe has the ball. Kobe Bryant from the Lakers. You need to stop him. You have to stop him for your life. Which defender are you taking? And you can only pick one. Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, Wade, Ben Wallace, Kawhi Leonard, Rodman, LeBron James, or Draymond Green. Who would you pick to stop Kobe Bryant?
Gotta go with the GOAT, the true and only GOAT, and that is Michael Jordan. And that's Michael Jordan in his prime. I think he's the only person who really probably could go one-on-one with Kobe and do so successfully. So that is my answer. I don't think any of the others would fare too well against him, although many other people try to claim that some others like LeBron James could. I just don't think if you took both of these players in their prime that any of those other guys except Michael Jordan could hang with him.
Correct. And what he means by the prime, Michael Jordan in his prime, not the Michael Jordan who played for the Washington Wizards. That is not the real Michael Jordan.
No, we don't talk about such things.
Yeah, I wish that was wiped away from history. That's the only part of history I wish it never existed or happened.
I mean, in all fairness, he actually was pretty decent, you know, as far as stat production. But we are comparing him to Michael Jordan standards, so. Yeah, it wasn't quite as glorifying. I guess the victory in it was, we still got to watch him a little bit longer.
Exactly. He's probably the best 40-year-old when he played for the Wizards. Justin, how can people reach you to talk to you about how bad New Mexico is going to lose this weekend?
Oh, man. Well, you can do it any type of ways. You see, I'm all over social media. I am one of the main contributors on our social media sites, Twitter and Instagram. So you can reach me at the Sportscast1 on both media outlets. My personal is at 121Training. That's the number 121 spelled out, training, both on Instagram as well as Twitter. I will be live tweeting from one of those. You should be able to find me. So you can hit me up at any point. And if you'd like to discuss New Mexico State and the imposing terror that is coming from the Aggie side of things, come on, because I'd love to talk to you about why you're crazy.
And you can also watch that game on the SEC Network. But if you don't have the SEC Network, which not many people do, you can follow us on Twitter. It's free, and we'll be very excited. And yeah, I think that is probably the only game we're covering this weekend. I don't know if anyone's going to cover the LSU game, but we'll see what happens. No pressure on anyone on the Sportscast. But
we'll make sure that we're live tweeting for one of those big games. I will be live tweeting for the Alabama game, and I will try to make it as entertaining as possible, given the opponent.
Two Aggie teams are playing this week, is Texas A&M and New Mexico State. We'll see which one will come through. And if you ever want to follow us, go on thesportscast.net and on Twitter at thesportscast1 and on Instagram at thesportscast1. We'll have the latest news, updates, and we'll keep you up to date of what happens to Antonio Brown, because I think he's about to be suspended. He's not showing up to practice today. That's what I've been hearing. So it should be pretty exciting. NFL starts this weekend. Football is in full blast this weekend. You got college and professional. You cannot beat it. And, of course, I think you got the U.S. Open still lingering around. But anyways, Justin Riley, it's always a pleasure for you coming on to the Sportscast.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it.